We'll go to Rajas. Rajas is easy because we all are there. Actually, Rajas is very easy. I probably don't even need to say it. You know, just each one, just look at our own life and you will be, it will solve the worst. But anyway, we have to do it, so we'll do it.
Usually when you get up in the morning, you always sattvic.
Yes.
And then later on of the day, when there's more action in life, then you'll be rajasic.
Right.
And then at the end of the day or like night when you're tired, you are
tamasic. Tamasic.
So it depends. Even one person can have fluctuations.
Absolutely.
Depending on the environment and depending on your work demands.
Right. So right. Very true.
And even the food too reflects these qualities.
That's right. Food also represents, yeah, in the 17th chapter we had talked about sattvic diet, rajasic diet and tam. So yeah, we fluctuate, but even when I'm working, I don't have to become rajasic. I can still work with sattva. Rajas can be mixed with sattva. Rajas is required to work. You need rajas, but rajas can be a pure work. Yeah. As I said, work is worship without expectation. When you, the moment you say, I'm serving the Lord, automatically your mind becomes pure, because then you're not going to be doing selfish activity, cheating anybody, hurting. When I'm doing a work as a worship in temple, you don't go and, you know, hurt or lie or cheat, or when you go to a church. Why? Because I'm in the Lord's building. But if the whole world is the Lord's building, everywhere the Lord is, so then every work should be as if I'm in a temple. But thank you. Yeah, that's a good point. So verse number 24, chapter 18.
Yattu kamepsu na karma.
Yattu kamepsu na karma.
Saham karena vapunaha.
Saham karena vapunaha.
Kriyate bahulayasam.
Kriyate bahulayasam.
Tadrajasamudahritam.
Tadrajasamudahritam.
Tadrajasamudahritam. That work is said to be rajasic. What work is said to be rajasic? Yat. Tu means indeed. That work which is karma, which is kamepsuna, which is longing for desires. Not only desires, but longing for desires. That activity, sa ahankarena, sa ahankarena, sa means with ego. Ahankar is ego. Vapuna. So that work which is done again and again without, with desire, longing, and with ego, I and my ego, and that work is done kriyate bahulayasam, with great effort. Lot of effort is done and it is a fatiguing work. Tad rajasam udahritam. Now people say, without desire, how can I work? You know, now I going to work, you know, is a desire. Okay, I want to, say I want to build a factory. That's a desire. I want to earn money. That's a desire. I want to take care of my family. That's a desire. I want to build a house. I want to buy a car. These are all desires. So how can we work without desire? That is true. Desire is... But the problem, Sri Krishna says, kama ipsuna, longing for desires is a problem. I think we talked about it on Thursday also. There is desire and then there is longing for desire. Having a desire is okay. You know, you need a house, you need a car, you need to take care of your family, you need to have save money for retirement, and that's all very good. But when there is a longing for desire, means the desire becomes the number one focus in my life. That alone is I'm wanting, I'm desiring, I'm longing for the desire. And then such a person becomes so blinded with that desire that alone. And to get that, I'm ready to cheat anybody, I'm ready to destroy anybody. And it could be desire for property, it could be desire for wealth, it could be a desire to acquire a particular person I love. And there we have heard stories that this person wanted to marry another girl and she didn't want to marry him, and he threw acid and, you know, blinded her. And her whole face is disfigured. Actually, she has become a model. She's had multiple surgeries, even though you can see some, but she has now become a model, and, you know, even though one eye is gone, But she now models because she wants to show that a person. So the point is that this guy had such a longing, so much desire that he was ready to do anything. So desire is not bad, but longing for desire is bad. And that leads to all the violence, you know, where I take over another person's country, take over another person's territory, take over another person's business. So violence leads and conflicts come out of longing for desire. So that's why he says, kama ipsuna karma sa ahankarena va punaha, ego. Now people say ego, what is ego? So ego is translated as I and my. And ego is that which separates me from everybody else and separates me from the Lord. So ego and egocentric activities are activities done for me and myself. And that separates me from everybody else and separates me from Lord. The moment I say I am one with God, then I am one with everybody, then the ego disappears. Then that person becomes an instrument of the Lord. And that's what Krishna tells in the 11th chapter. Mayyev nihatav purvam eva nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. O Arjuna, when you work in this world, work as my instrument. Work as me. I am working through you. And that's why even, you know, when we chant Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kiran. So Krishna is the one that makes a dumb person speak and a lame person climb the highest. So that means that even though you may not be capable of doing the activities, when the Lord works through you, that is the best way to reduce the ego. That, oh Lord, whatever, especially when you have success, it is very easy to get the ego boosted, you know, and people come and say, you know, you did such a great job. You are so good. You are so wonderful. And say, yeah, I think I am. I think I am. Without me, this work would not have been done. Or another problem with ego is that, especially, you know, owners of company or CEOs, they think without me, nothing will be done. So if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. So they start doing everything. They micromanage. All of you know managers who they micromanage, they never delegate, they interfere in everybody's work. Why? If I don't look at everything, the work will not be done. So ego can come up in many ways, you know, in many problems. And such people are not only problem for themselves, but they're problem for others, for their company, for their employees, for their family, for everybody. So aham karena with aha. Aham means I, karam means I. That aham karena va punaha kriyate bahu lasayam. And then the other problem with this person is, what do I get? You know, with ego comes, what do I get? So selfish activities only done for, you know, my own aggrandizement, for making me successful, and not caring about others, have no regard for anybody, whether it's my family, whether it's my co-workers, associates. Nobody, I and I alone matter. And what happens with such activity? Bahu lasayam, with great effort. In fact, that is the message for the children also. Selfish work causes fatigue. And how does it cause fatigue? Because when I am doing it as my work for me, then a lot of anxiety comes in, you know, whether it will be successful, whether it will be not successful, then I'm under strain, I'm under tension. And we find all of us, you know, after 8 hours, thak gaya, and I worked so hard today, I'm tired. What did you do? Did you go and dig a well? Or did you work in the field? Or did you do manual labor? Or did you pick up bricks? No, I sat in an air-conditioned office for 8 hours. Then what did you get tired about? You know, thak kis liye gaya? What did you do? Just sitting in an air-conditioned office. But why? Because we do it as I and mine. If you look at Shankaracharya's life. Now, Shankaracharya is a beautiful example. He only lived for 32 years. And by age of 8 or 9, he was already, you know, doing discourses. He had written commentaries on some of the Upanishads. Very evolved soul. And spent his life in preaching. Now, in 32 years, in those days, in the 7th century, 8th century, where there was no transportation, no trains, no road, no buses, no nothing. He traveled by foot all the four corners of India. India is half the size of the United States. And the four corners from one top to the bottom is 2,000 miles. And from one side to another is about 1,500 miles. So going all the four corners on foot or bullock cart, you know, most of the time he just traveled on foot or somebody gave him a ride on a bullock cart. How did he accomplish that? You know, I'm so amazed. And he not only traveled to all the four centers of the world, four corners of India, east, west, north, and south, he established centers, mathas, where this Advaita philosophy was taught. Not only that, along the way, he argued with people who didn't believe in this, people who had these wrong ideas and old, and he discussed with them. He convinced them through debate, not by force. And he re-established Vedanta, because so many wrong aspects of religion had become widespread in India. Animal sacrifice and all kind of wrong things were being practiced in the name of religion. He totally removed that. Even Buddhism that was being practiced in India in those days was a very defeatist. You know, you don't need to work. Everybody should become a monk. This is what happened in Tibet. You know, the Buddhism, everybody became a monk. Nobody used to work. There was no soldiers. And literally China walked in without shooting a single bullet, took over the whole country of Tibet. There were no soldiers. Everybody was a monk. So Buddhism is good, but you have to practice with reality. So that kind of thinking Shankaracharya eliminated from India. So in his short life of 32 years, not once he ever said, "Thak gaya, I'm tired." No. Every day he was walking, he was talking. And every temple he would go to, he would compose. He was not only a great Advaitin, but a great devotee of the Lord. If he went to a Ganesha temple, he composed a hymn in praise of Ganesha. He went to a mother temple, this Mahishasur Mardini. My God, what a powerful verse it is. It's not a verse, it's about 55 verses of homage to the mother goddess. Jai, 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 Mahishasur Mardini. You know, all this beautiful. So, how could he accomplish that? You know, you and I, we do a little bit and we think, you know, we did a lot. But when you look at the life of these great Mahatmas, then we feel ashamed, you know. Who am I to complain? Who am I to say, whatever I do can never, it does not mean that, you know, I cannot come to that level, so not. But wherever I am, at least let me draw inspiration from these great saints, these great Mahatmas, and make my life a worship. But if we don't do that, then our life becomes fatigued. Selfish work causes fatigue. Unselfish work does not. Why? Because then I and my is not there. I am working for the Lord. And then what happens then if the work is success? It's his success. If it's a failure, it's his failure. I did my best. So then there is no anxiety. There is no fear of failure. There is no tension. There is no fatigue. And such a person works constantly. An example of Rajasic, I know we talked last week about the arms industry also, and I want to continue a little bit because people think, you know, the arms industry, when the US developed all these weapons, then we came out of recession and all this money was spent. Yeah, we came out of recession, but at what cost? Because it created an arms race. Because the US has more arms, so Russia needs to develop, then China needs to develop. Now they have missiles, we need to develop defense. So this arms race goes on. It's not that you have made enough. Now we have made enough weapons to destroy the world 100 times. But it doesn't stop. We need to make better weapons. In fact, a successful scientist in an arms industry is who... This already there is a weapon which is big and which can kill, say, 1,000 people. How can we make it smaller and kill 10,000 people? And that's supposed to be a successful scientist, right? The same weapon, if I can make it half the size and kill 10 times the number of people, such a person gets promoted. You know, he gets a bonus and he gets promoted. Why? Because he has made this weapon 10,000 times powerful or 100 times powerful. But not only that, but when you spend money on arms, where are you taking money from? From the poor, you know, from maybe medical care or food or better transportation, better roads, better, you know, facilities, purifying, cleaning the environment. health, police, education, teachers. So money that is being taken away from all of these and go diverted. We are not saying that one should not have a defense, but unlimited expenditure and unlimited growth where that alone becomes. And then in the process, what happens? Few people get rich. Few people get rich. Who are the rich? The big companies. You know, they are the CEOs are making 300 million, you know, 30 million a year salary and things like that. And the poor janitor and all is making nothing. So the diversity is increasing. So that is the problem with Rajas, that the work is with longing, egocentric, selfish, causes fatigue and leads to discrepancy in society, where the rich become richer and the poor become poorer. They say, I don't care. And then they have this trickle-down philosophy, you know. If the rich become very rich, then the money will trickle down slowly, slowly to the poor. It doesn't. The rich person who is not going to spend on uplifting the poor, what does he do? Put the money in a Swiss bank or invest it in some other country where he can hire cheap labor to make more profit. It's not that that money is going to trickle down. The money is ultimately going to not go to the some other place, not be used. So the point is that rajasic knowledge is detrimental to the individual and detrimental to society. Work is necessary. Rajas is necessary, but rajas should be mixed with sattva, and that we have to emphasize. Any questions? Any comments?
Necessary to be rajasic.
Right. Right. No, that's very true. Very true. Absolutely 100% right. And you cannot tell, because the attitude with which he is working or she is working, is he doing it as a selfish or doing it as a service of the Lord? He doesn't have to say that. But the inner mental attitude is more important than what the external is. And ultimately that alone determines, you know, the activity. It is the individual, and only the person knows himself what he is doing or she is doing. And a lot of times people, you know, don't even, you know, advertise or promote. And so that's why, yeah, absolutely. The activity, whether it's rajasic, sattvic or tamasic, the individual, that's why we said it is meant to evaluate yourself. How are you doing? And yeah, you cannot judge just because somebody is rich does not mean that automatically he's corrupt or a crook or, you know, because like Bill Gates, you know, he gives so many billions every year, you know, his foundation, and his wealth keeps growing. You know, it's not that he becomes any poorer. He actually is, the more you give, the more he gives. And that's what happened. These people who run these foundations, who do a lot of charity, they will tell you repeatedly that the more, if the money is given in the right place with the right attitude, the attitude of service, it is replaced more than enough. So, yeah, that's true. So it is the attitude, not the external. Thank you. It's a good point.
Actually, you can call rajasic person to work or to make anything to be done, because, you know, that person has ego that you can use for a positive way.
Right,
any deadlines or any task, you can give it to them because it would be accompanied.
Absolutely.
Because of rajasic nature.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, that's very true. You know, you need rajas. Because the ego is there, so he will finish.
Doesn't matter how difficult it is,
right.
They'll get it.
Right, right. Yeah, that because yeah,
can use for absolute. Tough tasks.
Absolute. No, you need rajas. And yeah, if he has an ego, he will finish it. But again, you know, with
attitude,
what is the
different.
Attitude is different. But yeah, no, you need rajas to work. Most of the worldly achievements have been due to rajas. You know, whatever, whether it's, you know, making dams or going into space or, you know, all the, you know, development, science and all is because of rajas.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.